Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on!
From the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, this is MMA Junkie Radio.
We rollin'!
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes reporting for duty on a Thursday for a show that's supposed to be delivered Thursday, but we backed it up. We backed it up just a few hours because Monday's show was delivered on a Tuesday to kind of, you know, give us those extra days of vacation that we talked about on the previous show. So just want to make sense of this all. We wanted to create extra time. That way there's extra news to talk about. And we got a fun show planned for the next hour. We are going to discuss the latest fight bookings, the latest rumors, the latest news, things that are out there. You know, this weekend we have an event, a UFC event with a new main event of Aspen Ladd versus the young lady from Brazil. Dumont is her last name. So we'll talk about that switch because Holly Holm is out. Norma Dumont is her name. Arlovsky and Carlos Felipe in the co-main event, AEW and ATT, what's going on there with the pro wrestling angles? That's getting to be pretty interesting. Fran, Izzy, are they going to be fighting on the same card, UFC 270, in January? Perhaps. We'll take a look at that and lots more. We'll be back with MMA Junkie Radio on Thursday, October 7th. All right, goes. Let's blast from topic to topic. Holly Holm is out. Aspen Ladd is in. Aspen Ladd will headline versus Norma Dumont this Saturday, October 16th in Las Vegas at the UFC Apex for UFC Fight Night on ESPN Plus, 4 p.m. Eastern start time for that fight card. As of this moment, I believe we're around the 12 fight mark. Other fighters appearing will be Jim Miller, Sajara Eubanks, Danny Roberts, Nate Landwehr, Manon Fiorot, one of my favorites, by the way. Carlos Felipe, Andre Arlovsky in the co-main event. Julian Marquez, he's on the card. So I will be betting them as always, and I will definitely be enjoying these fights on a Saturday. And then Goz and I are going to head over to Hendo Fight Nights to check that out. It's amateur MMA in Temecula. So our Saturday's pretty booked up, huh, guys?
Yeah, that's sounds like a good time so far. Pretty fired up. And also, just to touch on your intro, you know, the show will go back to normal this next coming week. So everything will be back on track.
Yeah, for sure. We'll be back to Monday and Thursday delivery with us probably doing the show Sunday night, Wednesday night, just to get it out there early for some folk across the world. Just to make more sense of it, when we did the show Tuesday, we realized, holy cow, if we sit down and talk about MMA on Wednesday night, not much had happened. Some stuff had happened. We probably could have thrown something together. But we actually asked the editor-in-chief, and he thought it was a good idea to just maybe wait 24 hours and see what else comes up. So that's why it's a little bit late, but like Ghost says, we'll get it all on time. Holly Holm out, Aspen Ladd in. It's almost like a reward, Ghost, for something Aspen did last week that didn't go over too well. Now, to her credit, she did account for herself. She said she wasn't professional. She said it wouldn't happen again. And she doesn't have to lose an extra 10 pounds. So she has that. You know, a lot of us were saying, put her at featherweight. Not me personally, but a lot of people were saying, put her at featherweight. That's it. And so, well, now she's there, you know, and she can get paid. So we'll see how that works out. And I don't know if she's back in the good graces with the UFC, but what are your thoughts on this fight?
I don't like it. I think her body went through a trauma not that long ago, and it shouldn't be going through it again. I think it's just too soon. I understand why they booked it, and I understand that a lot of fighters have had these types of issues and still even been able to perform the next night after having these types of issues. But it doesn't mean it's safe, and it doesn't mean it's right. And I would have just kind of let that all played out a little better. But it happened and we're going to go through it. So, all right. You know, what are we going to do?
I agree with half of that, and I'll push back on the other half. The half of me that doesn't, that agrees with you, is the part where I just don't think it's really a good look per se, you know, and it almost looks like, oh, look what we have here. Somebody who we would normally not be too pleased about because they didn't make weight, but now's a chance to get them paid. But hey, our back is definitely getting scratched. So let's get Aspen in there to save the show. It's not a good look for a promotion who probably goes out front when these things happen and say, we want the best for our fighters. And so that part I agree with. Now, the part I guess I'd push back a little is, wouldn't you be of the opinion that Aspen knows her body well, her coaches know her body well, she probably consulted either her own doctor or at least the UFC doctors, and they, with far more knowledge than us, said, yeah, she can go. What would be your thoughts there?
Well, I can't give out names, but we just spoke to a fighter who told us they had horrible injuries going into a fight. And somehow those doctors, the UFC, they were able to get that around them. They still fought. The fight didn't go their way. Just because you can do something doesn't mean it's right to do it or safe. And so I would say sometimes these fighters, especially if you look at somebody like Aspen Ladd, who'd been out of the game for so long with her last injury, maybe she just needs to make up some money, you know, and I think we would all do that. I think we've all done that in our lives before, maybe done something where you're not 100%, but just because you can doesn't make it safe or right. And you're right. And I didn't say that part, but you're absolutely right. It's not a good look.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's going to happen. We're not going to stop the unmovable force that is the UFC. And most of the times things do work out. But, you know, recently we did have a death in bare knuckle fighting championship. Justin Thornton, who we talked about this before, you know, he passed away. I finally got to see the video and have a few more thoughts to share about that. You know, even Dana White was asked about, you know, for him to respond about that. And there's an article that talks about, you know, Dana White's thoughts and the record that the UFC has in terms of no one has died in the octagon. No one has suffered a serious injury of the paralysis type in the octagon. He even went to say, he went so far as to say $20 million a year is spent on medical to make sure these things don't happen in the octagon. That's not to say that you can prevent it. Now that I've seen the video of Thornton actually going head first, boy, that was horrible to watch, Goz.
Yeah, I mean, it was very much like Rocky III. Remember when he just kind of goes face first? Really a lot more needs to be done as far as investigating what actually happened here. The one thing that I think we can all point to and agree with is maybe these two shouldn't have been in the ring together, right? If you look at the records and their history, I think you can very easily say, ooh, this was a bit of a mismatch. So I think definitely somebody's going to come down on them, and I think it's going to have to do with that sort of stuff. But as far as maybe putting the brakes and stopping the sport altogether, all that, I don't know that that's going to happen. They've been doing it for quite a while, and this could very easily happen in the UFC. Very, very easily. I'm actually shocked that it hasn't to this point. It happens in boxing a lot. In the UFC, it could very easily happen as well. So I don't know that type of stuff will happen, but I think definitely for sure. And you know, some of this can spill over to like Triller and all that. Like we saw Evander Holyfield and the way he looked. I really, really think that more emphasis needs to be put on not even letting it get to the fight. Like just figuring it out before and just saying, I mean, these two shouldn't be in there. What are we doing here?
Right. Okay. Let's talk about a fight booking that took place. And again, folks, we'll jump around from topic to topic here, trying to clean up all the latest news here in the last 48 hours as we prepare ourselves for these next fight cards coming up that include Norma Dumont versus Aspen Ladd. And then the week after, we got Marvin Vettori, and he's going to be fighting Paulo Costa. And then we get to the two title fights at UFC 267, I believe, is where we'll be. You know, behind the scenes goes, while we were on vacation, I heard now it's no longer a pay-per-view. I don't know. But Peter Yan is now fighting Corey Sandhagen. I don't know. I'm really confused by what's going on over there. I'm happy that Dan Hooker is matched up with Islam Makhachev. What I can tell you is it's a card I'm prepared to enjoy because of those two title fights. Then we got the two in New York with Namajunas and Usman defending. Then we got three in December, man. Marino's defending. Nunes is defending. Oliveira's defending. And guess what? In January, they're already mapping that out. Francis Ngannou versus Ciryl Gane, they're going to unify the undisputed title. The undisputed champion is Francis Ngannou, the interim champion Ciryl Gane. And now I'm hearing goes there's a strong rumor of Israel Adesanya versus Robert Whittaker on January 22nd. What a way to end the year, and what a way to begin the year.
Yeah, no, that's great, back-to-back. Those are, especially with the heavyweights, when you really, really break it down, I know Ciryl Gane doesn't have that much experience, but he's kind of dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. He might have he checks a lot of boxes that I feel like John Jones, if he could get up to heavyweight in a healthy way and have a good camp, the reason why I thought he would give Francis some trouble are the exact same reasons why I think Gane can maybe give Francis some trouble. So that fight is totally, totally, I'm totally into that fight.
Now, here's the crazier thing. All those fights I mentioned, along with Volkanovski and Shevchenko defending, it was about 2 weeks ago. Do you realize in a four-month span, all of the UFC champions will have competed? That, to me, seems like a very rare occurrence between injuries, holdouts, disputes with the UFC, suspensions. The only notable exceptions will be Aljamain Sterling, who's out, but they've created the interim title in the bantamweight division with Peter Yan and Corey Sandhagen. And, of course, Amanda Nunes, who is also the UFC featherweight champion. Well, she can't be in two places at once. She's defending the bantamweight title. But that's the only other one that would not have been addressed within that four-month span of September 25th to January 26th. Watch, I'm going to go one by one. Strawweight champ, Rose Namajunas, November, New York. Flyweight champ, Valentina Shevchenko, September, Las Vegas. Bantamweight champ, Amanda Nunes, December, Las Vegas. Remember, we said the featherweight, we can't hold that against Amanda. She can't be in two places at one time. Now, Brandon Moreno, flyweight champion, men, December, Las Vegas. I just talked about bantamweight. Sterling's out. Yan and Sandhagen, October, Abu Dhabi. Then we got featherweight. Well, Volkanovski just did it. Oliveira, lightweight, December. He's defending against Poirier. Usman, November, against Covington. Now we're up to middleweight. Israel Adesanya, I just told you, it looks like he might be the co-main event against Robert Whittaker in January. Jan Blachowicz, same card as Peter Yan versus Corey Sandhagen. And then Francis Ngannou, same card as Israel Adesanya. That's awesome, man, that all the champs are defending in a four-month span.
It's very rare. But, somehow, especially with COVID and everything, for them to be able to pull something like that off is pretty commendable. But, you know, I was thinking, like, how much of that has to do with paychecks? You know, the big dogs get pretty good paychecks. And I think they just want to go out there and make some money, man, as much as they can. I think the pandemic scared everybody.
Well, the pandemic really set the sport back a little bit. But even over at Bellator, look what happened at Bellator. Patricio Pitbull Frady gave up the Bellator lightweight title. He was also the Bellator featherweight champ. But he lost that to AJ McKee in the middle of the featherweight Grand Prix. So while that took place, and he realized he's no longer a champ, he said, man, I just don't want to hold this other title if I'm not the featherweight champ. Although I don't know if that makes too much sense. But I think what he's trying to say is he said he did it for revenge, to avenge his brother's loss to Michael Chandler, which he did, I guess. You can say that. but he also stalled the division for a long time. I would say if I'm the lightweight champ and I'm no longer the lightweight champ, I would feel different about being the featherweight champ because, well, if I can't – let me see if I'm looking at this right. Maybe what he's trying to say is if I can't even beat a featherweight, how am I mixing it up with the lightweights? Yeah, I think he did get it right. That's what he's trying to say maybe. But he was saying a lot of things. But anyway, Bellator sorting that out, the light heavyweight Grand Prix, that's just about a week away before they have the two semifinals there. And then Cyborg, she's got herself a title fight coming up. It'll be her 10th overall when you put together Strikeforce, Invicta, UFC, and now Bellator. That's impressive. That would put her up there in fine company with Juan Anderson Silva.
That is pretty dope when you think about it. I think Kat Zingano today, was it today or yesterday, was kind of saying something a little bit about a possible fight with her. And that's really the only name out there that kind of intrigues me for that type of fight. And only because Kat Zingano's been able to rise to the occasion before. You know, she beat Amanda Nunes. So that's the one fight that I really want to see. But for the most part, you know, no matter what you say about her opposition, Chris Cyborg, for her to win the way she does and do the things she does, it's pretty impressive.
Her title defense will be on November 12th against Sinead Kavanaugh. And just so I got this right, in case anyone's curious, that 10th title defense would be at Bellator. At Strikeforce, she had 2 title defenses. At Invicta, she had 3 title defenses. That's 5. In the UFC, she had 2 title defenses. That's 7. And over at Bellator, she's had 2. That's 9. This next one would be 10. I know the loss to Amanda Nunes hurt her in terms of being called the GOAT of women's MMA, but you still have to stand back and go, that's one heck of a career to be the world champion in all of those promotions and to have all those title defenses, man. That's simply historical.
Yeah, for sure. How about the news that Bellator, starting next year, all main events, 5-round fights? I think that's a pretty bold statement. I've heard different opinions on that. I think for the most part, people like it. I'm one of the guys that's not too big of a fan of that, but what are your thoughts?
I'm going to meet you halfway. I know what your stance is, and that some of these fights, especially when they happen concurrently or many of them happen over somebody's career, they're extra rounds on the body, they're extra wear and tear, it's extra head trauma, and I get it. Those are valid points. So where I would try and meet you halfway is because when you do see some boring fights like MVP versus Douglas Lima 2 or Yoel Romero versus Phil Davis, and you kind of do go, boy, I wish this one could go 2 more. How about if we do something where in the instance of Romero and Davis, it's fresh in our mind, or even Lima and MVP, that happened 1 week later. How about if you do fight a non-title fight for 5 rounds, your next one can't be a 5-round non-title fight. You know, title fights have to be 5 rounds. There's no way around that. So if you're a champ that just keeps defending, well, there's no way around it. That's what you get. But if you're going to be involved in these non-title fights, then how about not have them back-to-back? You know, let's meet you halfway. Or if you do 2, you definitely can have 3. Something like that, I wish, on behalf of the fighters, it could be negotiated so that, you know, we don't have 10 rounds of fighting over 2 fights. If you think about it, 2 fights that go 5 rounds each, that's 10 rounds. That's more than 3 complete regular fights, because 3 times 3 would be 9, and this is way more. So the stakes better be heavy. You know, and if you think about it, what were the stakes in Romero versus Phil Davis? We said that if Romero won, well, what's he going to get, a title shot? No, he's out of the Grand Prix. So what were the stakes? If Phil Davis would have won, what would he have gotten? He wouldn't have gotten anything because he just lost to Nemkov. He just had his title shot in the Grand Prix. Heck, we even said if Romero loses, we'd still be okay with him fighting Gegard Mousasi because middleweight's his natural weight. So even by losing, it's almost like he gets dealt a decent hand. Davis doesn't because he's a light heavyweight, but there was no reason to really make that a 5-round fight. I'm kind of glad they didn't. So I that one I wouldn't want it to want it with, but Lima and MVP, yeah, that one I think I would want it, because if Lima was going to get another shot at Amosov, then I'd like to see him defeat MVP and vice versa. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah. So okay, if they were able to do that, I would be all about it. But my whole thing is, like, not every main event is created equal. You know what I mean? Even in the UFC, not every fight card, the main event, has that much writing on it. Now, so I'm not trying to take a shot at Bellator, but even with Bellator, I think even less. You know, they just don't have as big of a roster. So, again, like, it's part of it is, a lot of it is head trauma and the training that goes into it. But some of it is, I just think in a 3-round fight, they're going to put more out there. You know, how many of these championship fights do you feel like in the first couple of rounds, they're kind of taking them off a little bit because they're afraid of running out of gas?
True. So, True.
There's a little bit of that. I think the fight would just be a little bit more exciting. And then, you know, I don't know what the pay is. Hopefully there's an increase in pay now with this because you are working more. I think that would be fair for the fighters. You're putting so much, man. Like, I want these fighters to last longer. You know, Look at guys like Chuck and Randy and Tito, how far they went. Nowadays, it's like, wasn't it just yesterday that we were all going, wow, Cody Garbrandt's a great fighter. And now people are talking about skids and maybe he doesn't have it anymore. I honestly think it's because some of these fights and the training that goes into it, fighters are just getting chewed up and spit out. And it's because the UFC, Bellator, PFL, they can do that because there's so many of these fighters, you know. And
well, like I say, I'll meet them halfway. But if those two just had 5-round fights, then I'd say your next fight can't be a 5-round fight unless it's for a title. Let's start with that. Let's start the compromises with that, and then we'll see, you know. But I like I say, I can't lie. In both of those fights, I would have wanted them to go to 5 rounds. But you're right. There's been a lot of times where we're like, well, they're taking a few rounds off. Things will heat up. So there's almost a valid argument for either side of it all. But it's done. That's what they're going to do. We'll see how it works out. But hopefully there's smart people there that keep tabs on this, you know, these types of decisions.
You're saying it's done and there's nothing we can do about it?
I don't think so. I mean, I bet you they'll at least try it for 1 year and see, you know. Someone's probably gauging the success of these fights. Look, I'll be honest with you. Santos and Walker was 5 rounds. I didn't think it was that stellar, but I did think rounds 4 and 5 were more violent than rounds 1 and 2. Because rounds 1 and 2, it felt like they were still pacing themselves for rounds 4 and 5. Now, rounds 4 and 5, they weren't as crisp, and you know, the explosion, the fast twitch, it wasn't what we would have seen early on. So like I say, it's kind of a give and take. Now, had they known it was only 15 minutes, maybe they would have gone harder. Who knows? That's what we don't know. But all I can tell you is what I see with my own eyes. And Walker versus Santos was just not really that exciting.
I agree. Yeah. And there was MVP and Lima.
Correct. Yeah. All right. Francis versus Gon. They're unifying the title. Francis is the undisputed champion who just wasn't ready to fight when they wanted him to defend, which was in August. All he asked for was one more. And look what it cost them, goes 5 more months. By the time he defends, he'll be 10 months removed when he fought Stipe Miocic. Something just don't add up here to me. After he beat Miocic, he looked like a guy who could defend 4 to 5 months later. Why is it 10? And I think it's just because the hard-headedness of the UFC, you know, I think got in their own way. I thought what Francis said seemed, of the two sides that I've heard, the more reasonable side. I can't go in August, but I can go in September. But he couldn't, but they didn't book him till January. That seemed like a little bit of policing from the UFC, and I've heard it happens. It's happened in the past. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it. I mean, like you said, it's not like he said, I can't go in August, get me on December. It was only a month. They were only a month off. So not a very big deal. I that's just the UFC flexing, but it's just weird. You know, it's so weird to say this for the interim title and have to explain that to people.
Yeah. AEW and ATT, what is going on there? Dan Lambert is delivering some really, really nice promos. The Uber millionaire, or maybe he's a billionaire, I don't know, who's been the leader, one of the co-founders of ATT out in South Florida. You see him popping up a lot with his ATT fighters on the AEW stage. When he does it, he looks good. I've told him so. But what's happening now? Is AT&T going to start funneling a few new wrestlers over to AEW? You know, are they going to be part of some of these storylines that have drawn, that have been drawn up? You know, Amanda Nunes, I've seen her there. Jorge Masvidal, Andre Arlovski. Junior Dos Santos is the one that's popping up, kind of like the one of the latest.
Well, right now, Junior Dos Santos seems to be the only one that's going to actually wrestle.
Uh-huh.
But it seems like there's so much moment or so much potential with that storyline because, you know, guys and gals that are in the UFC, I think, can only do so much. I think the UFC will only allow them to do so much. But you have people that are pretty charismatic. Like when you think about it, Paige Van Zandt, maybe even a Kayla Harrison, right? Like I could see them actually doing some professional wrestling. We saw how popular Ronda Rousey was, so. I think this is something that can maybe blow up a little bit. However, I don't think all of the people at ATT are going to be involved. Man, you could even see a guy like Mo Lawal, who has wrestling credentials. Maybe he can get involved in it. Bobby Lashley, maybe you could see him in there. Who knows? I mean, I think he might be already signed with somebody else. I forget what their name is right now. But it's pretty interesting. Dan Lambert. Huh?
Are you joking?
Who?
Bobby Lashley.
Isn't he he's with a different organization right now, right?
Yeah, I think he either is or was the WWE Undisputed Champ.
No, I don't think he's there with them anymore. Isn't he with what's the one that
– Is he no longer there?
I thought it was – is it TNA or one of those? I thought he was with them now. I don't think he's with WWE. I could be wrong, man. I'm not sure.
Well, for sure. For sure I saw him wearing a major belt in WWE, and I don't follow WWE that closely. But I remember seeing that and thinking, wow, that's pretty awesome. You know what I mean? And so I thought that that's what it was, under the Raw brand or something like that.
Maybe I'm completely wrong with that. But I thought he was with someone else. But, yeah, I mean, there's just so much potential. Dan Lambert's very good at what he does. But I think this relationship with them being in Florida and all that is just going to keep growing and growing. And I think it could be a lot of fun.
For sure. By the way, I think Kayla Harrison could headline a WrestleMania one day.
Very possible.
Yeah, that would be awesome, man. I think she could talk well. I think she's got the build for it. I think, I think those two things primarily. She's just getting, looks like she could deliver a great promo. She's already been doing it over at PFL. But, I mean, the way she violently throws people with her judo, and, of course, she rounds out her game knowing a lot of wrestling, I think it's pretty impressive. All right, let's talk about these fights that are coming up on Saturday. Any thoughts on Andre Arlovski versus Carlos Felipe? I mean, when is Arlovski going to slow down? And by the way, last I checked, that guy's always been paid at least a couple hundred grand. He's probably been able to stack some nice paper by just being active, putting on good fights. You know, maybe his nose is being rearranged a few times. Maybe he's been on the losing end, but he still wins his fair share of fights.
That's the key. That's what keeps him around, is that he still wins his key pivotal matchups. And even the ones that he loses where, you know, if he's getting KO'd, then yeah, it's not. I don't think he has one more of those left of him. I think if that happens again, it might be it. And I don't even feel like it's the UFC that would pull the plug. I think it's probably Andre that would pull the plug at that point. But he's even had some pretty competitive losses. So the dude still comes out there and bangs. I think he's got good fight IQ. The only thing that's lacking is maybe the reflexes that he once had. But at heavyweight, you know, as long as you got power, you could still compete. And he's still got that. So more power to him.
He's won three of his last four. And in the last 36 months, so in the last 3 years, He's fought a total of 8 fights. That's not a bad pace. That's almost 3 fights per year. And remember we used to say 3 fights per year is pretty realistically. But if you fight January, May, and then let's say October, November, well, you're not necessarily going to get January again, you know. You may now get pushed to like February. And so we used to say maybe 5 fights in 2 years. But that's not bad, man. 8 fights in the last 3 years. And won 3 out of his last 4. I mean, he's really, really maximizing his career. So did Donald Cerrone. So did Jim Miller. A lot of these OGs, man. I'm really, really proud of him.
Well, he deserves it. You know, all those names that you brought up. Another one is Dan Henderson, a guy that we just saw. I think they probably got past their, their peak.
Prime?
Their prime. Probably got past their prime. Once they did that is when the big checks started to roll in. And you want to see somebody that went and kind of built the foundation for some of these other fighters to get paid that way. You know, Andrei Arlovsky, I think, has had some pretty decent paychecks, even going back to when he was champ, but nothing on the level that he's consistently getting now, I think. So, yeah, if you can still cash those but do it in a healthy way, I think keep racking them up.
What's up with the Cuban Missile Crisis? Julian Marquez, he's going to be fighting the Beverly Hills Ninja, Jordan Wright. Both of these guys are young and they have catchy nicknames, good records. This is an important fight for both guys, though. You know what I mean? Because they want to stay I wouldn't say relevant. They're relevant. They want to take that next step up, you know what I mean? And you don't want to get hit with a setback. Remember, I always tell you setbacks can cost you at least 18 months, sometimes 2 years, but I think both guys have they're riding some momentum right now.
Yeah, Julian had to go away for a while with that injury, but since him coming back, he's looked like he's made a lot of improvements. I know how much he loves his team over there. Leaving Vegas, you know, we miss him out here, but I feel like he's done a lot of improvements as far as just creating the Julian Marquez brand, his character and all that. But in the fight game, he has to maybe upgrade a little bit there, just have some kind of devastating KO, something that'll make him jump a few spots, because I feel like the progression that he's going through right now is a little bit slower than I think it could be, because he's a damn good fighter. But he just needs one of those big wins, I think. And now we can start talking about him when we talk about the title. You know, putting him up with those names up there, because right now he's just kind of cruising along, but I think he's got a lot of potential for that.
What a cool nickname, man. The Beverly Hills Ninja. And I really like the Cuban Missile Crisis too, but I don't know, something about the nicknames of Beverly Hills. They've kind of gone they've gone far in the entertainment world. You know, we're LA kids, so we hear a lot of stuff regarding Beverly Hills, which is a suburb of Los Angeles. And I remember this has been going on for years, starting with the Beverly Hills Hillbillies or something like that. They used to be called a television show 40, 50 That's years ago. But what's that?
The Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah. And then remember just Beverly Hills Cop? So you take a guy from Detroit, Eddie Murphy portrays Detective Axel Foley, and then you bring him to nice, posh Beverly Hills, and you got yourself what I think they went three movies, right? 3 movies deep in their little.
I think they just finished filming the 4th one.
Oh my God. A Beverly Hills 4 is around the corner?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Eddie Murphy's still with us? I have to ask nowadays. I can't keep track sometimes, but. So we have Judge Reinhold, Eddie Murphy, and then what was Taggart's name? Do you know his real name?
I don't know what his name is in real life, but yeah, I'm not so sure all of them are still. Like Andrew Bogut, he's kind of old, right?
I think so. Those guys appear in so many movies. I saw him in Murder in the 1600 the other day. If I'm not mistaken, he plays the president, right?
I've never seen that movie.
Yeah, he plays the president. You never seen Murder in the 1600? Murder on 1600 with
Wesley Snipes. I might have seen bits and pieces, but I don't think I've seen the whole thing.
You should watch it. I think you would like it, especially now that you've been to Washington. Obviously, the title is Murder at 1600. There's a murder that occurs there, and there's reasons for why it's kind of being covered up, and Wesley Snipes is a detective, a DC detective, who's trying to uncover it. The lovely Diane Lane is in it, and Dennis Miller, he's pretty funny. I mean, I don't know that he's still regarded as one of the top comedians in the world now, so this might not mean as much, but back then, you know, he was a pretty funny guy. He used to do Monday Night Football, for those that don't know, but he was in there. And so Ronnie Cox is the guy that plays President Jack Nielges. And Ronnie Cox was also in Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I believe Ronnie Cox might still, I'm trying to look real quick. Yeah, he's 83. He's still with us, man. So you never know. Maybe he'll make an appearance in this this part 4 that you're talking about. That I had not heard anything about it.
I mean, hopefully it'd be kind of cool. Obviously, I don't know, he'd have to be retired or something, right? Like, you never know, man. Like, look at the Rocky movies.
Mm-hmm.
They get rid of people with – I mean, like, Burt Young still acts. He's still in shit.
Yeah, John Ashton is Taggart's name, and John Ashton is still alive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know what else I forgot was in it? Was his homeboy down in Detroit, the one that's racing his sports car.
Some sitcoms, right?
Sitcom, yeah. What was his name? Do you remember?
I don't.
Paul Reiser, that's right.
There you go.
Yeah, Paul Reiser's in it. I forgot Damon Wayans is also in part one as well. If I'm not mistaken, Goes, who played the gay guy?
Bronson Pinchot.
Yeah.
Serge?
The guy that says, of course, don't be stupid. When I think they ask him, can I have a cup of coffee or water? He goes, of course, don't be stupid. Anyways, we're off track here. Beverly Hills Cop 4, be on the lookout. Back to some MMA. Like I say, don't go to the bank with this one, folks, because it's still rumored on Tapology as well. I just wanted to make sure I covered myself. But Israel Adesanya, I know Dana White had teased that he might be fighting Robert Whittaker in January, and now as they're piecing together that fight card that also includes Jared Cannonier and Derek Brunson, huge fight, by the way, in the middleweight division, that's a nice 1-2-3 punch. Jared Cannonier versus Derek Brunson, Israel Adesanya versus Robert Whittaker, and Francis Ngannou versus Cyril Gane. Sign me up.
Are we in the middle of a home invasion, or how come you keep looking off to your left?
Because Dad came in here and put on the football game, so I guess I was just peeking at it at the score, okay. But... yeah.
I thought they were playing charades on the other side or something.
No. Well, that, and I was also, I got so curious about these Beverly Hills movies that, and these actors, just to see if they were still with us. That, you know, the other day, and I'm going to get sidetracked again, but the other day I was at Big Ralph's and we were talking about not Stephen A. Smith, the gentleman that passed away. The black broadcaster for ESPN, Stuart Scott. We were talking about him, and somehow it came up. John Saunders. I didn't know that he had passed away. Did you?
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, he used to coach college football, and I guess he went quietly in his sleep. But if I'm not mistaken, he passed away in 2016. I was like, whoa, you know, like they're just dying too fast for me to keep up with some of them. Some people that I really enjoyed their work, you know, that I would actually mourn a little bit more, I guess. I don't know. Because it's not like the tributes reined in on that one. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Shot.
Well, no, I'm just saying, did you remember, like, Stuart Scott still talks about it, and he should get talked about. You know, think about how much – well, I guess he's the one, you know, Stuart Scott, how much he gets talked about. Think about Jim Valvano, I guess, because, you know, I guess when you go slowly and you're battling a disease like cancer, it's different because you're fighting for your life and there's so many supports and causes, you know, in an effort to hopefully keep you alive. But I guess when you go in your sleep, you don't have time to react. You just pay a tribute. You say something nice and I guess you turn the page. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But, yeah, John Saunders, I couldn't believe it. Back to mixed martial arts. Rose Namajunas and Zhang Weili, they're going to be fighting in November. And I guess they've been doing some rounds of media, and Zhang Weili was saying she's going to try and turn a negative into a positive. You remember the phrase better dead than red that Rose Namajunas had brought up. It was an anti-communist slogan that originated in the Cold War days, so back in the 50s. And because her family's from Lithuania, she said she had seen some documentaries. And so she said it, but because you could also apply it to Zhang Weili, who's from communist China, it created this like tension and it created an atmosphere in which Zhang Weili was didn't become comfortable. She was able to brush it off back in April when they fought. But after the fight, she said it really, really affected her. What happened was, goes, the way I think I broke it down was she fought in Jacksonville, and Jacksonville is a red state. Thank you. It's a red state, and Rose is popular. I'm going to throw a lot of stuff at you here. Rose is popular. Rose is white. They fought in a red state, and I just feel like Americans are way more boisterous and sometimes passionate, but sometimes disrespectful than a lot of Asian cultures, where they will root for other athletes, but not at the expense of booing the other person. They seem to have a lot more respect and appreciation for two combat sports. We've seen it in Japan for many years, but in this case, the USA chants became so popular, and then Zhang Weili was on the receiving end of boos. So you remember all that, right?
Yeah.
Zhang Weili is now saying, hey, if they boo me, I'm just going to pretend that they're cheering for me. But she did come out and say that it did bother her, which was definitely, definitely unfortunate. And even more unfortunate is that there's a lot of struggle for people of color. It's just that I would say the Asians definitely get the least amount of support when it comes to that than blacks and Hispanics. And that's coming from a Hispanic man. I got to call it like it is.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's pretty accurate. It's unfortunate that happens, but it's good that she's using that, as many people have, as fuel to her fire.
Yeah. What I do hope goes is that it's a great fight. You know, I disagree with the fight booking. I thought Carla Esparza earned her shot, and she should have definitely been in there. And I think it would have been an excellent storyline because she beat Rose Namajunas. She's a former champion, just like Zhang Weili was. Zhang Weili didn't offer much in the first fight. She got her butt kicked, to be honest. So it wasn't a classic. It wasn't a barn burner. That nothing needed to happen right then and there. She could have went out there and got one more win before they ran it back. But they're running it back, like we say. We'll bitch and moan until it's made. Once it's made, we'll bitch and moan a little bit more. But once we realize it ain't changing it, then we start to say, well, who do you like and what do you think? And you know what I mean? I'll tell you that right now, and then I'll let you go. I still like Rose. Her hands are just really, really nice. It's sweet science, as sweet as it can get in MMA. So I think she'll be able to beat Zhang Weili again. But hopefully it becomes a more comfortable place for her to fight in New York, where there's a larger Chinese community. And hopefully both athletes can just perform and they're not overwhelmed with anxiety or fear or anything that, you know, that comes along with you know, those types of booing or anything going on with that.
I have Rose too, but I think she'll be able to – I think the fight will go longer. I still think there'll be a stoppage, though. I really do. I think Rose just has, like, the kryptonite style for someone like Zhang Weili.
Yeah, I agree. That's on the same card as Kamaru Usman and Colby Covington. And how about this? I'm transparent. Did you hear about Kamaru Usman? Okay, that was the worst pivot in the world. I just wanted to transfer to – did you see Kamaru Usman on Steve Harvey? He came out there with his pops, and for about the first 12, 13 minutes, he just talked about his father and his incarceration and then what it was like to finally be together for one of Kamaru's fights as he's champ. But they did talk about how he was able to watch him on television, but the fight had to be on Fox Sports 1. Kamaru would not fight in any other type of fight unless it was Fox Sports 1. But they eventually did get to the father served 12 years. He's out. And if you'll recall, Kamaru put the belt around his father when he defended this last time. And then guess what he does on the Steve Harvey show? He hands them a box that contains the keys to their brand new crib. Pretty cool.
Well, I think all of us, even as kids, growing up have that dream, right, of buying our parents a house or their own car or something like that. For him to be able to do something like that is pretty tremendous. Like, Kamaru Usman is really hard to dislike. He really is. Like, he's a badass in the cage. Seems like he's a pretty good father, a good son. Says all the right things. He's even funny. Like, when you talk to him about random stuff, when we did our unpopular opinion, he had one of the funnier ones, you know, about Star Trek and over Star Wars. He's just a cool cat, man. Like, I don't know how you can hate on that guy.
Yeah, I would agree with that. What did he say? What did he think was better, Star Wars or Star Trek?
He thought Star Trek would beat Star Wars.
What do you think?
I think he's wrong.
Okay.
But still, you know, I like Star Trek too.
Tell me about Alistair Overeem. He's not fighting Rico V, I call him. Verhoeven, I believe is how you pronounce the name. But he's out of that fight at Glory. Kind of a bummer. I wanted to see the two Dutch fighters, the two Dutch kickboxers who are tremendous. Obviously, Alistair, I think, did way more in MMA. But to be fair, he did win a K-1 Super. What's it called? The tournament at the end of the year. So that's quite an accomplishment. But they're gonna have to put this. They're gonna have to reschedule this for now because Alistair Overeem is out.
You know, Alistair Overeem gave us one of the best interviews I think he's given ever. He was talking to Mike Bond, and he was very transparent about, like, what he wants the end of his career to be like, how much time he has left in the sport. And it's really unfortunate that he's not going to be able to have this fight. But he kept it real. And, you know, you talk about all the accolades, everything he's done. It still bothers him. You know, like, I think he wanted to finish his career in the UFC, but unfortunately he couldn't. But I think this is the next best thing for him. And, hopefully we get to see him back soon.
Yeah, and I went and looked it up while you were talking just to make sure, and it was the K-1 World Grand Prix was the event that he won. I remember Tyrone Spong in the first round was actually his toughest match, but the one that he won was back in 2010, goes K-1 World Grand Prix final in 2010 in Tokyo, Japan. He defeated Peter Ertz in the final. That was tremendous for an actual MMA athlete to be able to do that. And I know he started off as a kickboxer, but I'm saying a guy that had really, really planted his seed as an MMA fighter to then go back and go back to his roots while not staying active in that combat sport. That was impressive.
Yeah, I think we had a conversation with Ray Seffo not too long about those days and how all those tournaments came about. That is not easy. And I don't know that anyone will ever understand of this generation just how difficult it was what he did.
No doubt. Hey, let's talk about real fast two things. I know we spent a little bit of time on the movies and entertainment. Sorry about that. But we got to talk about Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder. It is taking place on Saturday in Las Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena. If I'm not mistaken, they're 1-0-1 in favor of Tyson Fury. Do you think Deontay Wilder goes can even the score so that it would be one win each with one draw? What are your thoughts? Tyson Fury, the champ, going in.
I don't. I really think Tyson Fury's kind of got a lot of momentum right now with the way that he's been fighting. And I think where he differs from Deontay Wilder is I feel like he's still getting better. And I don't feel like Deontay Wilder's still getting better.
Right. Deontay Wilder does have that one punch power though.
Yeah, but he hit him with it, and guess who gave zero shits about that?
Well, no, didn't he knock him down, and then the other guy got up like the Undertaker? Wasn't that the fight where that happened?
Man, like, he gave him the best he had, and he just Undertakered all the way back up.
Well, but he knocked him down is my point. He knocked him down so much that I think a lot of us thought the fight was over.
Yeah, I thought they were gonna cart him out on the stretcher, but he just got up like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, all right, so you think Tyson Fury kind of wins and then moves on from all this, huh?
Yeah. You ever seen that video when the honey badger gets, what is it, like a cobra gets him or something, and he just kind of goes down? And he almost wakes up like, man, what happened? He just gets back up and starts fighting again.
Well, yeah, it takes like, but he can be out for a few hours too, depending on the venom, right? That's delivered.
I think so.
Yeah, honey badgers are awesome. Did I tell you I saw some, well, they call them badgers, not honey badgers, but they call, I saw some badgers in Big Bear at the zoo.
You did?
Yeah, they are cool, man. I love watching this one little badger. I may even have a video. I'll send it to you after the, after we record this, but he was cool. I really, really enjoyed just checking him out.
My favorites to watch are the penguins and the sea otters.
See, yeah. Yeah, both of them just look kind of silly. Because you know why? They look like drunks, right? For the most part.
Yeah.
Bouncing around, doing stuff.
You know who Cousin Jeffrey's favorite animal is, right?
No, who?
The leopard. He likes the spots.
Really? I didn't know that was such a big deal. Yeah. All right. Shout out to Cousin Jeffrey. Did you see his son Grayson with that? That more of a knuckleball. I said I called a little video Bended Like Grayson. His nickname's Grayson. We're talking about him, folks, because he was at one of our junkie gatherings and a lot of junkies got to know him. But he's got a little son named Grayson, so that would be our nephew. He's now about 5-6 years old, and he takes a free kick and he delivered it into the soccer goal. It was really, really pretty cool. But it actually had like some nice velocity to it. It was really a nice kick. Not much of a curve, so I can't say he bent it like Beckham. But it had like that Ronaldo knuckleball.
Yeah, he did get it to like dip under the bar. It was pretty legit.
It was really, really legit. I thought it was super cool. And so I wanted, give him a shout out. Hopefully one day we can all get together again. People constantly ask me about my family, my cousin Jamie, my cousin Karen. I think a lot of you know her as Crazy Karen. Them two, along with our cousin Jeffrey, they're all siblings, for those that didn't know. They were all present at quite a few of the junkie gatherings that we had. So, anyway. All right, goes. Last thing. I know I'm forecasting a week in advance. Mackenzie Dern versus Marina Rodriguez. Mackenzie Dern said something that I think she wasn't looking to put out there. I think she was just asked, what are your goals or something like that. But at some point, she did say she'd like to be the one that moves up to fight Shevchenko at some point. Remember, Dern had trouble making strawweight, so she did go up to flyweight. But now she's doing great as a strawweight. She's probably going to be a title contender pretty soon, especially if she can win this fight. But somehow, she is a little bit distracted by Shevchenko.
You know, you're right. I think she was just asked the question, and she answered it. But that's what we need. Because Valentina Shevchenko is so dominant that you need these types of call-outs. I would be really interested in that type of fight. You know, at least it gives you something where you're doing the check marks and you go, whoa, but if she gets her down. I'm not saying Valentina's a fish out of water on the ground. She's definitely not. But this is next level.
I would agree with that. Dana White Contender Series, I think the 6th or 7th edition just took place. What was it, 4 more contracts?
Yeah, the poor guy that got left out. Everybody did so well. This is one where I think I would have given out that many contracts. I might have even given the guy that got left out a contract. But hey, he's going to get another shot through Dana White looking for a fight. So maybe he makes it in then. But great performances all around. Bloodbath and that one of them fights, oh my god, it was the first round. The first round they were dying, but they went at it.
I will say this, you know how I call them, man. I call them just like they are. I wasn't a fan of Tough, and Tough had a great season. And I came in here and I ate crow and I said I watched every episode, and not just because we recapped them on Triple G Show, the show that Goz and I have on Patreon. Check it out. It wasn't just because of that, it was really, really good television. The fights were awesome, and I believe they created some fighters that I definitely want to see compete. Right away, I already remembered who a lot of them were, and so I'm down, right? But that said, Dana White Contender Series has been my jam. However, now what I realize goes, I don't want it to go up against the baseball playoffs, which have just started, and I don't want it to go up against football in October. It just can't happen. Mm-hmm. I'm occupied by high school football on Friday nights, college on Saturday, and then the pros on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday. Wednesday night, you kind of decompress, even though, to be fair, there's still some college football out there. We need to get back to our regular schedule. I know this probably a lot of it has to do because of the pandemic. It just kind of set everything back, and this is traditionally in the summer. One thing that I didn't like was being in that hot gym, not the UFC Apex, but I'm talking about the original, the Ultimate Fighting Training Center. In the summer was brutal, but because we have the Apex and we have air conditioning, we're fine. We got to get it back to the summer, though. You know what I'm saying? It's getting lost in the shuffle of football, and the fact that they're giving away so many contracts, you almost feel like, well, everyone's getting a contract. It's just a fight card.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. All right, folks. Listen, we're going to get going. As always, keep it locked on MMA Junkie for the best coverage in mixed martial arts. Follow us on social media. I'm at MMA Junkie George. Goes is at The Goes. And the radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. And then Goes has some final words.
I was going to say, you know, for me, I guess it's pretty rare for me to be in California. And we are going to be at Dan Henderson's gym. So any of you local junkies, if you want to get together and come see some fights, he's got a pretty good fight card. And you'll probably be able to watch the UFC and do this at the same time. So, or one after the other. So come out and hang out.
Yes. And one thing he told us was he stopped selling tickets once they get up to 600 people. So it's called Dan Henderson's, I believe it's Athletic Fitness Center. Hopefully I got that right. It's in Temecula. Go check out their website and get your tickets. Get your tickets because he'll have links there for the event. And get your tickets if you really want to get going sooner rather than later because, like I say, he had to turn away some people last time. It's called Hendo Fight Night 6. All right, folks. We're out of here. Go out there, be a champion. We'll talk soon.